Good afternoon. This is the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission for February 8th, 2016. And I would like to thank, I'd like to begin by asking the Bureau of Development Services staff to introduce themselves.
Hillary Adam.
The members of the commission here today are
Kristen Miner,
Matthew Roman,
Paul Solomano,
Kirk Ranzetta,
Karen Carlson,
Jessica Ingeman.
Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of requests for landmark designation and coordinate other historic preservation programs. We are not paid, but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. Okay. Today we have kind of a brief agenda to consider both some items of interest to the commission and also a design review request for the New Market Theater North Wing. Is that correct?
Design advice request.
Design advice request. Thank you. So the first thing on our agenda is the some items from Nicholas Starin from BPS.
Good afternoon, Nicholas Starin, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm here today to do a National Register nomination review, as well as continue and hopefully wrap up our discussions on the draft new design guidelines for the Skidmore Old Town Historic District. Before I do those items, I just have a couple items of interest for the commission. one is to, you probably all have all heard along the grapevine, but the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has hired Brandon Spencer Hartle as a senior planner to be the program manager for the Bureau's Historic Resources Program, and we're all very excited about that. He is scheduled to start, I believe, February 22nd, and I'm sure one of his first items on his list to do would be to come to you and introduce himself, and I think he's going to be pulling together his work program, and we'll be interested in discussing that with you, and so I'll work with him to get him up here as soon as I can.
Great. Thank you, Nicholas.
The second item is relating to a project that is just starting to get off the grounds to develop design guidelines for the new Chinatown-Japantown Historic District in Old Town. PDC is funding that project. We're right on the cusp of finalizing a contract with some consultants to do that, and so we're in the process of trying to form an advisory committee to advise the project. Mm-hmm. So we would very much like to have a representative of the Landmarks Commission participate on that committee if possible. It's going to meet approximately, I would say, 4 to 6 times, probably 5 times, beginning probably late February, early March, and then continuing into the summer, maybe 6-7 months. So I'd turn it over to you and this, to the commission to see if anyone's interested in participating.
Sure.
Quick question. In addition to participation in the advisory committee, about how many times would the group be briefing or checking in with the commission as a whole?
Yeah, we're still working on the scope, but I believe there's at least 2 briefings and work sessions early on, sort of before we even get to the adoption process. I mean, I think the team is very much wanting to work directly with the commission. So we can, as soon as the contracts are finalized, we can, one or more of the project staff can come in and give you an update and show you the schedule and work with you to figure out when it makes sense to come to the commission.
Okay. Do we want to talk about who could potentially attend those meetings now, or should we defer that to the end of the meeting? Or
Possibly defer unless people have a
hankering. Is that okay with everyone if we just
talk about it?
Okay. And then we'll get back to you.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not going to be able to stay for the entire meeting, so if you could just shoot me an email with what you decide,
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Okay, I'm just moving on to the next item. We have a National Register review for the W. Leland James House, which was constructed in 1929 at 5303 Southwest Westwood Drive in the Hillsdale neighborhood. It's being nominated to the National Register under Criterion B for its associations as the home of Leland James, who was the founder of what would become Consolidated Freightways, a major national trucking firm, as well as Freightliner, a manufacturer of heavy trucks. Both of these organizations were headquartered in Portland for many years, and Freightliner is still here as a subsidiary of Daimler-Benz, I think. It's also being nominated under Criterion C as an excellent example of the arts and crafts style. It was designed by noted Portland architect Harold Doty. Just briefly, overall, the nomination is well prepared and demonstrates what I believe is its eligibility for listing, and staff recommends that the commission support the nomination and make a recommendation to the State Advisory Committee, which meets on February 19th. I just have a couple of very minor comments, one of which has probably already been caught by the preparer. There may be a representative of the preparer in the audience if the commission has any questions. Yes, okay. There's on section 7 on page 5, there looks like there's a block, a somewhat substantial block of text missing, so that needs to be put back in. Section 7, page 5, towards the bottom. Yeah. I guess the only substantive question I have is the property, the building has a small addition, I think, on its southwest end, apparently completed in the year 2000. The addition's described in a couple different places in the document, in the main part of Section 7, as well as the alteration section or portion of Section 7, as well as Section 8. All those have slightly different information, not necessarily contradictory, but it would be real helpful for the description of the alteration to have sort of all everything that's known about it. I mean, the description of the addition and everything that's known about it in the alteration section, so one could review that quite clearly. And if it's known who the designer of the addition is, I don't believe that's in there. That's my only substantive suggestion for changes.
Does anyone have any comments from the commission?
Just overall praise. It's a great nomination, and I think your suggestions, Nicholas, are great.
I agree. I read through it. I thought it's well researched, well documented. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Tim Askin did it.
Okay. Okay, so is there any more comments?
No.
Okay, so I'll prepare the form with the comments and email it to the chair and co-chair, and you can, I don't think I have your electronic signature, so we'll have to figure that out.
I can.
Okay. Right. Okay. That's it?
Okay.
Thank you.
Well done, by the way. Thank you very much.
Moving along to the next item that I have and final item I have is the Skidmore Old Town Design Guidelines. As you know, we met 2 weeks ago and had a public hearing. The commission discussed and outlined a number of suggestions for additional amendments. Hopefully you have a copy of a table that incorporates those amendments. If you don't, I have some extra copies. The table includes the proposed revisions that staff introduced that day, as well as some changes that Commissioner Engelman brought, as well as my attempt to respond to what I heard at the hearing. Items that are marked with asterisks in the table, I think, were already are relatively minor and already decided upon. I guess I defer to the commission how you want to do it, whether you want to pull any items out for discussion or go through each one. It's up to you.
Right. I definitely defer to the rest of the commission in terms of how we'd like to go through it. I think a majority of these were largely just word adjustments as opposed to kind of policy changes. So if there's anything in particular that's specific that stands out to people, I think that might be the best way to go. Anything?
I don't have anything in particular. I wonder if we should just talk about very briefly the resolution that is in the back. Is everyone pretty comfortable just with it? And it's number 34, page 69. And I think there were just some wording changes in there. Are we all pretty comfortable with how that fell out in terms of the? I don't know if anyone needs to see the original text of it, but to me, that's really the only thing that we should verify together is whether we're all.
So basically, it's swapping out recreate and using integrate instead.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's a good move. I feel comfortable with it. Do you feel like it does enough for you, Kristen?
Okay. I do too.
Okay. And then just on item 21, which was edit on page 55 of the guidelines, Nicholas had proposed some original text that was responding to a request from the neighborhood. And basically, I took the intent of that text and just did a little bit of rewording to help lead into some of the examples that come in the following pages and really tie it to that, and not using words that I think can have different meanings to different people, particularly the word mimic. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have the word mimic in the guidelines. So I think that if you guys are okay with that language, I think it works just as well, which is basically, I'll just read it for the benefit of the audience. The intent of guideline D1 is to encourage new buildings to respond to and reinforce the principal design elements of the cast iron buildings that are central to the district's architectural significance and character. The images that follow illustrate a variety of acceptable ways to design infill in a cast iron historic district, ranging from modern interpretation of key design elements to reconstruction based on historical documentation. So basically saying there's a range of acceptable ways and that we're not looking for exact copies or necessarily working very literally within a historic style.
I like that language, Jessica. That's really, I think, works well.
Okay. I agree.
Okay. All right. I think I'd like to, since we left a public comment period open, does anyone have any public comments on these proposed modifications by any chance? No? Okay. You, sir?
You? Nicholas asked me to come to speak on the cast iron.
Okay. So why don't we have you join us up here? If that would be great.
My name is Bill Hawkins, and I've been involved with a collection of artifacts for some time. I think it's kind of reached a crisis point on what's going to happen to these artifacts. The way that the district has evolved, totally opposite than I ever thought it was evolved or would evolve, has really meant the elimination of this, of the use of this in a reconstruction way. And as you were just saying, you eliminate certain words and you say integrate it and not really put it back on buildings. So it has it's a very basic question about what does one do with an historic district. I've been all over the world and it looks at thousands of historic districts, it seems. And as time has gone on, I've been more and more critical of some of the rules that we have, because there will be nothing left of our historic district when all the infills are filled in and there won't be anything that looks like an historic district. So the purpose of getting PDC to buy $30,000 worth of cast iron was to try to bridge the gap between a district of 50% of which is now vacant property or has been, and it's being built upon slowly, 75 foot high. So if you look at a map of the district, and try to imagine half the properties, and I have little maps, and all of them 75 foot high with no relation to the cast iron district or any of the reason that the original district was designated, I mean, not only a district, but a landmark, a national historic landmark, we're going to end up with one of the oddest historic districts in the world. Now, one can come to accept that this is the way it is. Half the buildings were gone when it started. The fluke was that Eric Ladd had saved five or six half dozen fonts. So when the landmarks was first started and George was involved with it, that iron was there. So in every single document that came through, including this one that's being reviewed, it's been emphasized that this cast iron should go back in the district. Exactly how was ranging, as has been said, from display to the reconstruction of a building. But there have been no reconstructed buildings. So the idea that you have an historic district based on its cast iron and there is no there's no meat in the district is very odd to me. It seemed like the only hope for having an integrated district was to have a couple block fronts with the iron on both sides of the street around the Skidmore Fountain. But as time went on, Mercy Corps was the first test of this, where the George and I discovered at a very early point that we found some prejudice towards historic against historic architecture and for modern architecture in the various earliest Secretary of the Exteriors and Standards. We thought that that might be worked around in our discussions about it because we had these iron fronts. So there were a lot of discussions with SHPO. Well, do you mind if a building is, if you have two historic buildings and you insert a reconstructed building in the middle of them? Does SHPO mind that? Well, if they're on separate properties, no, that's fine if it's an accurate reconstruction. But if you have a plot over here, and it slowly got withered away. So the fact is we have a very, very strange district. Mercy Corps came up with a very nice modern building. At one time, there was discussion of putting cast iron on the parking lot next door. Mm-hmm. And because it was a contingent property, SHPO said, well, if you put one single piece of iron from your building, whether it had been on the building or on any adjacent building, you will lose your entire historic status, and there will be no sanctity to any of this from SHPO. So that was a very rude awakening way back when to how difficult the SHPO's rules are next to historic landmarks rules, next to the world's rules. This has been debated back and forth and back and forth. The upshot of all this is we have tons of iron with no projected use. The only thing that's come to me, because Kathy Galbraith and I are kind of co-signatories with anything that happens to the collection, is that we have a slight overview over what it happens. We cannot influence what happens. We cannot say it should go on a restored building on its original site. Someone simply says we want to put a pile of iron in front of our building and check off the landmark list. Cast iron is listed. Do something with cast iron. So it comes up to a checklist. That seems like a very undistinguished ending to the cast iron collection. So I'm basically asking if the landmarks would like to get into a discussion about what should happen to this iron. There are five or six building fronts, complete, almost complete. It's obvious they're not going back on their original sites. There will be no unity to the district because it was a cast iron district. It'll be a series of either very modern buildings or what I call the compatible infills, which have a list of rules, a base, a middle, lots of windows, and the cornice. All 75 feet high, jammed within that. Most cast iron buildings of three or four stories are so high, if you take a seven-story building, it's a scale that's never been seen in a historic district ever in time. So the whole thing has come to be very strange with me. And everyone is gone who had something to say with that cast iron. Eric Ladd, who saved it, is gone. All the PDC people have retired. George McMath is gone. Everyone who promoted along the way is gone. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who were involved with the report while they were still alive. They knew, they put all this iron in, do something with it. Nothing is going to happen to it. So would Landmarks be interested in a discussion about that? PDC people are gone. What is going to happen to it? Now, I'm 80 years old. What? I will be gone. So who will look after that, and will it simply be evaporated in time, broken up, and nothing happened to it? So I'm basically to ask if you want to discuss it further, what the proposals were way back when, why they didn't work out, what the conflicts are with SHPO, why Portland Historic Landmarks and SHPO are always seem to be hitting heads on things. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you do raise some very legitimate questions, and I think that we certainly left the door open for the integration of the collection into infill development. And I think that was one of the things that definitely came out of the effort to develop these design guidelines. And I think that, and I think I'm speaking for the rest of the commission, I think that it does deserve some additional discussion, because there are some fairly significant challenges, as you've seen over the past 40 years, to try and integrate components of the collection into something that's worthwhile and meaningful, and that's edifying to, you know, the legacy that left that behind. And you know, Skidmore Old Town is a challenging district. I mean, it has, you know, it is on the cusp in terms from an integrity standpoint, and so the infill development that is put in there has to be very sensitive to that fact. But again, I think within the context of our most immediate hearing, I think that I'd like to address the hearing first, and then I think join in a discussion with you about trying to set something up so that we can, okay, you know, implement the design guidelines in a way that's going to be, I think, you know, designed around the intent and the, you know, and I think the experience of the folks who've come before us, because I think we have an interest in making sure that that collection is put to good use, because it is part.
Who should control it? Where's it going to go?
But, yeah, I mean, I think that's a big debate.
And it's not going to stay under that bridge forever. Every time it's moved, it's broken.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. It is a collection.
Withered away.
It's a significant collection.
PDC did a study of a public lavatory on Ankeny Square. And as much as we could get in, we're with Hacker's office, we put it on the front of that little outhouse, public lavatories. Now, that property, which is totally free of developers, and it has nothing but this public's interest in pointing out that this was Portland was one of the few cities in the world that had all cast iron buildings. There's nothing like that. When you take an original palace down, looking like a Venetian palace, but it happened to be cast iron, and you put up a curtain wall building, of course it says nothing. And on that particular property, there's not even a little plaque that shows that Simeon Reed built a cast iron palace, and wasn't that interesting? And that came from the Oregon Steam Navigation Company, the largest corporation and one of the largest in the world at the time. Mm-hmm. We don't have a little plaque that says that there was a cast iron building here. We don't have a little plaque that says, and this is a photograph of it, and here's a drawing of it, and here's an artifact from it, and Simeon Reed was very famous in the founding father.
Right.
We have absolutely nothing.
Well, and I think that just gets to the heart of where that discussion needs to go. So, I really do sincerely believe that if we could set up an appointment maybe to work closely with Hillary to set up that meeting so that we can certainly put all our heads around precisely these issues. Because, I mean, Skidmore Old Town has had significant international connections. I mean, Portland, I think a lot of people just don't appreciate the full international scope of the economy that used to be, you know, in Portland in the late 19th, early 20th century. And I think the Skidmore Old Town District was a great expression of that. And the people who invested in that district originally realized its importance. And that's why, and it is one truly a gem from a variety of different reasons, because cast iron buildings just have not survived across the United States. There's very few comparable districts. None that have the number, first of all, that Portland has, but also the level of detailing. So,
what happens when you pay no attention to the cast iron? What kind of a district do you have at that point?
Right, and I think that...
What is it called? It's not...
It's not cast iron anymore.
It's the infill building.
Well, right. I would volunteer to, and I volunteer Brandon Spencer Hartle, work with Kristen and potentially get someone from PDC and maybe, someone from Bosco, and maybe we could put together some kind of, and Bill, obviously, and put together a little schedule, a discussion.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great.
I would enjoy that enormously. I think it would be fruitful. If it ends up being a little interpretive center or something attached to the sidewalk to the fire station, or if it ends up something, I just don't want to see it vanish, and it's well on the road to vanishing.
Right.
Bill, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the last round of edits where the guidelines are headed.
No, I haven't seen those.
But I think we really strengthened some of the language in the guidelines that reinforces what we're looking for, which is the cast iron theme to be carried out through infill, and we've given a number of examples drawing from a lot of buildings in the Soho Historic District where we've been able to show various different ways that architects have reinterpreted cast iron from being very almost true to the historic style to more of a modern interpretation, but in a high-quality way that reinforces that sort of kit of part themes. So I think the guidelines are, and the fact that we're adopting the resolution as part of the guidelines is really going to go a long way to addressing some of the challenges that you've been articulating about the historic district. So I think we're well.
It's a good report. I like the report. If you read the report, there's hope. But the reality is there's no hope. And that's what I'm worried about.
Well, you should also stay tuned for the design advice request. And we can, maybe you would like to offer some public comment, but I think they should have an interesting presentation. And it is
well,
exactly
that's our most important icon, and
right.
Certainly if ever there was an addition to an icon that it matters in this city, it would be the New Market Theater.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Yep. Thank you very much,
appreciate
Bill.
Your time.
Yes.
Yeah. And we have a little bit of hope.
I'll follow up with you, Bill, and we can
thank you.
Try to work safe.
Okay. Good.
Do we have anyone else from the public? Okay. Public comment period is now closed. Do we want to take a vote on the content of the design guidelines as currently proposed? I think we do have an edit to that one section. So,
what was that?
We do have one edit that you had suggested.
Oh, that was
already incorporated.
Okay. I just wanted to highlight it and make sure that both for the benefit of the audience and the commissioners that they picked up that change. But it's already, Nicholas has got it in.
Okay, great. Matrix. So do we have a motion?
I motion that we adopt the list of changes, the most recent one from today's hearing, into the Skidmore Old Town Historic District design guidelines and adopt these guidelines.
Forward to the council.
Forwarded to the council. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Recommendation it is. Yes.
A second.
Okay. Can we have a roll call? Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Salamano?
Yes.
Commissioner Roman?
Yes.
Commissioner Minor?
Yes.
Commissioner Ingeman?
Yes.
Commissioner Carlson?
Yes.
And Chair Ranzetta?
Yes.
Great. So if you'd like, I'll take a stab at drafting a transmittal letter and forward it on for the commission's review. And we'll keep you apprised. It'll probably be at least a month out before the hearing at City Council, depending on their schedule and how fast I can incorporate the changes and write the ordinance and all that. But I'll keep you up to date and as to when it is, and hopefully one or more of you can participate in that.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much, Nicholas.
Thank you very much.
Okay.